Okay, folks.
Yeah, give up.
Well, you got the radio right here. That's us, KMUN, Arts Live and Local. And this is Carol, and I am delighted to be here with you. And playing a Nancy Griffith song. I'm sure most of folks who listen to KMUN are aware that this incredible musician, 68 years old, died this past week. This has been a very heavy week for dying. And that was sung by Sarah Hickman from an artist's tribute to Nancy Griffiths. Nancy Griffith. And if you like Nancy Griffith, and or you want to hear more, even if you don't know her, I would suggest you go to KMUN.org, archives, and click on Thursday Folk, because Lynn Hadley did a full show of Nancy Griffith and all the people who learned from her, and it was terrific. And I want to send out healing to Rhonda, Cheryl, Eva, and Shirley. All of them lost someone very close this past week. So, dedicating the show to the people of Haiti and the people of Afghanistan, and to all of us who sure as heck need to heal and get ourselves together. And I know just how to do it. And if you're listening, you do too. Because the best way is through the arts. And I have surprised two people on the line. And one of them has been playing or directing people all week. That's Sergei Antonov. I call him Astoria's cellist. I know we have others here, but hi, Sergei.
Hi, Carol.
Ooh, can you speak up a little more?
Hi, Carol. Can you hear me now?
Ooh. Got you as loud as can be, and it's still kind of quiet. But we'll give it a try. And with Sergei is the woman who helps make all of this happen at the Liberty, and that would be Jennifer Crockett. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I think I'm your surprise, huh? I forgot that you just wanted Sergei today.
Well, here's...
Surprise.
Here's what's weird is Sergei's is... Okay, Jennifer, talk to me a little bit more. Maybe the phones are... I think I had them switched around. Okay, yeah. Now I've got you. Yeah, well, you're always welcome, of course, but as you can imagine, I'm going to pump Sergei to talk to us because this is our one big opportunity.
Exactly.
And let me just mention to folks the reason that they're both here is that this week, it's been going all week, and there are still three more nights at the Liberty Theater in Astoria. That's libertyastoria.org for tickets, or just show up 12th and Commercial, 6:30, and get your tickets. But it's amazing, an amazing program. The Hermitage Ermitage. Oh, is there a friend? Is there a Russian way of saying Hermitage?
That would be Ermitage. So Hermitage is close enough.
Ermitage. Okay. Yeah. I thought maybe that was the translation. Trio, piano trio, and plus three special guests. And they are special indeed, all six of them. So we are thrilled to have this concert series, and I encourage everybody to join us at the Liberty. So, Sergei, can you give us kind of an overview? You've been coming here forever. When did you start?
I think my first year in Astoria was 2008 or 2009.
Okay. And that was for the Astoria Music Festival.
That's correct.
And now you're really putting together the festival that we're having this week. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yes. Well, we're putting it together all together, but unfortunately, I had a lot of time, free time to dream and think and come up with the idea. So the third dimension is kind of a COVID baby, but I'm very, very excited that we were able to come. I know it's a very difficult time for everybody. For those around town, we try to be, you know, as safe as possible. And but it's just incredibly exciting to walk back on stage live with live audience and the whole. It's something that we desperately needed, just as an oxygen, and we were so down, sad, and depressed, you know, during this time. So for us, it's a real, real celebration of what we, essentially what we do all our lives.
Yeah, and that would be, Third Dimension is the name of this festival, or this particular program. It's an 8-night music festival, and the folks that are involved, the three of the Hermitage, are Sergei Antonov on cello, Ilya Kazantsev on piano, and Misha Kalin on violin. And then you brought in Mark Berger on viola and Asia Koripanova. How do you say it?
Koripanova.
Koripanova, whom we heard last night, and all night my body was throbbing from that concert. And then the third guest, special guest, Irina Murisano from
Murisano.
Murisano, okay. Murisano from Romania, originally. Now they all live in America, is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so what does Third Dimension mean to you?
Third Dimension was kind of an idea of celebration of human interaction and relationships, since we were all shoved in our houses and the life for a year and a half was basically off of the screen, which is lacking three-dimensional feeling. So that's what I was kind of...
Nice.
It's not that I was coming from that. It just dawned on me, you know, that we want to get back to the three-dimensional relationship. And
I like it. Yeah.
It's something that, you know, again, as I said, celebration of human interaction through music, through just, you know, just hugging people is rare now. So
you do it with the music. What's beautiful, too, is that you're speaking on behalf of the musicians, and we can all speak on behalf of the audience. Everyone is thrilled. And Jennifer, I don't know what you expected when you and Sergei put this together.
Well, you know, we thought it was going to be a big grand reopening for the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a lot of ways it still is. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so lucky to have the piano trio back at the theater. It really does feel like a family reunion, which has been awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, I think ticket sales, we have hovered around 100, and it's in a 650-seat theater, so there's plenty of room to spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And people are wearing their masks, and, you know, we're sanitizing, and it's all very safe. So is it ideal? No, but it's still, you know, wonderful. And I know the staff and the volunteers and I, it's just been amazing to hear music on the stage. And to have music in my hallway and in the banquet hall, the musicians are spread all throughout the complex throughout the day rehearsing. And it's like, for us, this is what the Liberty is supposed to be. It's supposed to be this way. And this last year and a half, there have been things going on that are still wonderful, but not on this scale. So it's been really nice to have it.
Yeah, it is very exciting. And as you say, it does feel safe. Because, sadly, there aren't, the audience would be packed. This series would have had a full house. But that was not to be at this time. So the folks who are coming are feeling very, very gifted. So thank you so much for coming. And what I'm thinking is, since we still do have 3 nights, and this is 7 p.m. each night. Sergei, I don't know if you have a program in front of you. Do you want to tell us what's coming up and who these performers are?
I have it in my head.
Okay.
So what we have left for the last 3 nights is tonight is the concert which I called 4x4, which is 4 people, and it's string quartets. It's a really... great. We selected 2 quartets. It's the Dvorak American Quartet and Mendelssohn's last string quartet that he wrote right after his sister Fanny passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Tomorrow is a super fun concert because it's 88 by 20. So it's 88 keys on the keyboard, 20 fingers, because it's a piano four hands. So it's Ilya Kazantsev and Nadia Karipanova. They're going to take over the stage.
It's going to be
super fun.
Oh, my. Wait. So they're both of them playing the same piano?
That's correct. Yes, it's piano for
him. Oh, my God. Their hands are going to be all over that piano. I can just imagine. They're both such vivid and vital pianists. And, oh, I can't wait to see this.
That's why I made sure and asked the film crew that they have a dedicated keyboard camera, because when you're dealing with piano four hands, they always crisscross the hands, and it's incredibly cool to, you know, look at this up close.
Right. And
they're gonna be playing Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Van Rachmaninoff and Barber. So I just felt, I don't know whether it's going to show up on the keyboard, but the bodies of these artists are all so very different. And, of course, I feel like we're so familiar, for better or worse, I think it's for better, with Sergei, Misha, and Ilya. And then here comes these 3 new people, and... So these 2 pianists, I don't even understand how they're going to put the chair at the right level, because...
Well, they're gonna have 2 benches set up.
Okay.
And, to go a little bit back to the format of piano four hands and to intrigue you a little bit, it was very often when composers would, let's put it this way, feel attracted to somebody.
Oh. Okay.
They would usually address this format and try to play with that person. Not all of them, but that's one thing that you can be as close as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Maybe. So
it's really cool with all the hand interactions and you know.
You know?
It's really fun.
Okay, folks, for me, that's the first time I've ever heard that. It never even occurred to me. So maybe it's the first time you're hearing it. See what you learn here on Arts Live and Local. And let me tell you, you will learn a lot more if you come to the performance, because Sergei, I don't know whether he makes some of it up on the spot, all of it up on the spot, or what. He's got these commentaries that are hilarious.
Well, I'll continue with that, because we didn't talk about Sunday. And Sunday is the closing night.
Yes.
And that's the full program. I forgot to mention that the Friday and Saturday are an hour long programs with no intermission. So we just wanted to safely bring the audience in and then enjoy the music and then safely leave the theater. On Sunday, we full program with intermission. We're going to start off with as modern as the composer is going to be on stage. It's Mark Berger's piece.
Oh, yes.
So he's going to talk. He's going to tell everybody mm-hmm. about the piece, about the process, and mm-hmm. questions about it.
Nice.
Then we're going to move to Gabriel Fauré's piano quartet number one. Actually, he's going to play on the piano. It's going to be Irina, Mark, and I. And then the second half, we're going to play, it's probably my favorite piece of chamber music.
Mm.
And I can tell you, I played this piece with my first school love. But the story behind the front quartet is, and it's just incredible music. So Frank, the legend is that Frank fell in love with his student, obviously being married, and wrote this quintet. And there is actually the historic trace of his wife denying that story. But the whole quintet is filled with quote-unquote, reaching out moments when something is right there, but you cannot reach it. So mm-hmm. it's an emotional piece.
Longing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting that that's your favorite chamber piece. And so is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you will be on that.
Yes, and Ilya is
right,
taking over
piano,
the piano and
quintet.
The rest of people.
Right.
So people will get a chance to see all of us in one place.
Yes, so that's, if you can only come to one, that might be the one. But if you can, I highly recommend. This has been so rich, so fulfilling. Just seeing you folks, because it's been 2 years now. And that's crazy. I feel too familiar, and I did not tell folks, because there are folks listening who have no idea to whom I'm speaking or with whom I'm speaking. So Sergei Antonov is a Grammy-nominated cellist. He is also earlier a winner of the International Tchaikovsky Gold Medal in the International Tchaikovsky Competition in Moscow. And touring, are you mostly, well, BC, before COVID, were you mostly touring in the United States or in the world or what?
We go in whatever we get called, you know, all over the world. So it's... Sometimes it was busy, as you said, DC, you know.
Yes.
You know? So we can't wait to get back to
that
traveling.
Life. Yeah. And Ilya also, Ilya Kazantsev on piano, Grammy-nominated pianist. And I believe that Ilya and Sergei have known each other much of your lives, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We go way back to the third grade of school. And since then, it's been almost a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, it shows. You two are so in sync. And many people in the audience mention that's part of the charm and excitement, how you communicate on the music. Although you all know the music so well, but it there's a real feeling, a real spirit. And so, well, I'm thrilled you're here. I'm hoping that next year we're going to be able to experience not just the third dimension, but all dimensions.
What we need to say is that if anybody making plans that far, we probably going to be in June, the middle 2 weeks of June, and we also, just a little bit later, in a couple of days, we have some super, at least for me, super exciting news announced. So that's, stay tuned for that. I hope the plans are not going to change.
Yeah.
We're going to start getting out of this 2-year tunnel. So.
Yeah. Very, from your mouth to the goddess's ears. And thank you so much for being here. Thanks for the fabulous music. Thanks for the Hermitage Piano Trio and your fabulous newbies, the new guests, Irina and Asya and Mark. And Jennifer, thanks for making this happen. Thanks to all of the community that helps make it happen. We know anybody who's interested in helping out can, again, find the tickets, read all about it at libertyastoria.org. It will direct you to wherever you need to be, and you can support this ongoing.
And if I can just wrap it up, because the entire week we thinking and celebrating Bill and Deborah Armington's, who also made it possible with their generosity and support.
Good, good.
Yeah.
And then you've got some home stays, too.
Yes.
With fabulous musicians. So it's a real community effort.
Also, Carol, if I can jump in, if anyone's not comfortable in coming to the theater in person, KMUN has been filming each of the concerts, and we're putting them on our Facebook page the following night. And they're beautiful, and they're high quality, and they sound amazing. And so please enjoy the videos there.
Yeah, do enjoy. But there's nothing like live music. Okay.
True. True.
I'll see you tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for being here. And folks, coming up now, I have a piece of music from Sergei and Ilya. The album is Elegy, and we have Alexander Scriabin, Etude, Opus 8, number 12, arranged by Antonov and Kazantsev. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes. That's the quality of music we've been hearing all week, and you too can hear. And now my guests are from Cannon Beach. Well, they're going to be from Cannon Beach. One of them is from Cannon Beach. Eva Lantala is here from Dragonfire Gallery. Hi, Eva.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I am well, and I hope you are too. And you are here because you started a festival a couple of years ago. The first annual was a couple of years ago instead of last year. And we have the second coming up, if all goes well, September 16th to 19th, the Earth and Ocean Festival. And my second guest is Daniel Dancer. Hello, Daniel.
Hi there. How are you?
I am well. Let's see. I'll hear you when you talk. Hopefully, we'll be able to get you through.
I'm right here. Can you hear me okay? I'm right here.
That's better. Yes, that's good. Thank you. I'm right up at the top of the sound booth here. So, Daniel is part of this year's festival, and he has a project called Art for the Sky, which he has been doing for, well, it sounds like he's involved about 150,000 people in this project. Is that right? Is that possible?
Well, I've done Art for the Sky projects with groups of people in 44 states and 8 countries for the last 20 years.
Oh,
probably a total of around 150,000 people all together.
Wow. Fantastic. So, Eva wants to feature you, and then I'll come back to her to tell us a little bit more about the festival. This is involving galleries all over Cannon Beach. There will be music, there will be demos, there will be art, new art, and there will be specials like Daniel's Art for the Sky. So what are you going to be doing with folks in Cannon Beach? Do you do something different everywhere you go?
I do something different everywhere I go. Usually I'm working with schools, you know, anywhere from 200 to 5,000 kids. In this case, at Cannon Beach, we're going to be doing a giant sea star. And we don't know exactly how many people are going to be there. We'll figure it out exactly how big it will be, you know, like the day before. But we'll be making a sea star. Everybody's going to be wearing red. And then the different five different environmental groups that the festival supports are going to be having about 8 members in each arm of the star wearing different colors.
Oh, wow.
So there'll be like little dots going towards the center of the sea star.
Mm-hmm.
And a little surprise in the middle that we're not going to reveal quite yet.
Okay. So how does this work? Obviously, it's called Art for the Sky. So there's something involving the sky. Tell us.
Well, yeah. Well, everybody gets into the design. You know, I lay out the design on the beach, and it'll be all marked out. And then everybody gets into the shape. And then I film it from everybody gets down on their hands and knees when I have a little countdown. And so their back is to the sky, which presents the largest color dot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be filmed from a drone. And then I'm filming the whole event, the whole creation of the event the whole time, and other things in the area. And then the whole thing is put into a music video where the image of the sea star that we create is revealed the next day in the video.
Oh, wow. So when you plan these things, for example, in a school where you kind of have an idea how many people will be involved. Does it always?
Well, yeah, in a school, you know exactly how many people are going to be involved. And when you do a festival, and I've done a number of festivals, this kind of thing, where you don't really know exactly, and so you take kind of a guess at the last minute, and it always works out. So I think Eva can say, I think we're having registration, so we'll know approximately the number, and then X number of people will show up on the day of the event. And
Yeah,
so it's kind of an unknown at this point.
So does it always, when you're doing something like a school or where you know the number, does it always come out the way you expected?
Most of the time, yeah, I've done this enough. I've done probably over 350 individual projects, so I kind of know. More often than not, I'm surprised that it looks better than I think.
That's great. Okay. And how do you decide what? I mean, we're on a beach, so it makes sense.
How do I decide what?
How do you decide what object you want to
create?
Well,
in this case, the Dragonfire Gallery and people came up with the idea of doing a sea star, and then I just pick out a sea star that I like and model it after that.
Makes sense. What other shapes have you done?
Oh, I've done so many. Did a windmill on a hill in Holland made of 5,000 people. I did a wolf in Indiana, a wolf head. I've just done so many. I've done dragons. I've done almost every major endangered species, whales, grizzly bears. Lots of eagles, lots of hawks, mm-hmm. A train, you know, you name it. I've done a lot of them.
So
I haven't done a sea star. I've not done a sea star yet. So
good.
I'm looking forward to that.
So we're original. So
you're original.
Do you have a connection? I know Eva's going to tell us. This is all about art and the environment. What's your connection with the environment?
Well, my father taught one of the first environmental studies classes in California, so I've been steeped in environmental issues my entire life, and I've got a couple books out on the topic, and it's just my number one concern, and all the work I've ever done has had to do with environmental issues. So it's really good to be doing this project with Eva and the Earth Ocean Festival, which has a major focus on the environment. And, you know, we all know the heat dome that just happened killed millions of tidal creatures. Mm-hmm. So this is really an important topic to address at a very important time.
Nice, nice. And I know Eva is a proponent of art and expressing art for many reasons, but for sure being able to promote the environmental worth of everything through the arts. So, Eva, tell us a little bit about why people should come to this Earth and Ocean Festival in addition to Daniel Dancer. Daniel, okay, I don't think this is a fair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm a dancer. Did you take that name for yourself?
No, no, it's my real name.
You lucky man, you. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I usually, when I'm doing a topic, I kind of let that be known right off the bat, so I'm not just, people think I'm a flaky Californian and then make up their own name.
Well,
my real name.
Anything to do with dance is okay, not flaky anyway, but okay. So, Eva, tell us, why should people come in addition to Daniel's Art for the Sky project?
I think the biggest reason is showing that support and that love for the environment and understanding what an important part art plays in that, in connecting us to the environment, and to raise money for the five nonprofits we are supporting, which is the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, North Coast Land Conservancy, Friends of Cape Falcon Marine Reserve, and Friends of Haystack Rock, and Sea Turtles Forever. It's a big passion of mine. The older I've gotten, the more I am aware and care and want to help make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in addition, one of the things I'd like to say about Daniel Seastar is that it was chosen. It was actually Lotta who works here who came up with the idea, because we are supporting five nonprofits and there's five arms to a Seastar, which thankfully is looking like the Seastars are really returning, not so much the Sunstar, but the Seastars, and hopefully the Sunstars will follow. But it just seemed to be so fitting as a message that we want to support these five nonprofit local environmental organizations that are doing amazing work. And one of the ways to have people come is to add the excitement of Art for the Sky, as well as we have a theater performance group coming up from San Francisco called We Players. They're going to be amazing. They also do site-specific work. Most of all, their performances take place out in the environment, and it is a goal of theirs also to connect people with space. Mm-hmm. And so there's five of them coming, including the musical director who plays various wind instruments, and he's a baritone saxophonist. And I just think they're going to be so much fun, and they're going to be performing outdoors on the Saturday, as well as they are doing a performance, a joyful performance on the Thursday night for the opening dinner that is being catered by Jonathan Hoffman, which will be amazing. And that also is a fundraiser. It's separate from the rest of the festival and ticket-wise.
Mm-hmm. How do people get tickets? My understanding is 50% of the ticket price. We're not going to give the price, but I would say it's very, very reasonable. Goes to these five environmental groups. But how do people get their tickets?
You go to cbgallerygroup.com and just go to the Earth and Ocean Arts Festival button at the top, and that will give you all the festival highlights, the schedule, and give you a button to click for ticket.
Great. Okay, that's easy enough. And if somebody wants to be part of the Art for the Sky project, is there a button for that too?
There is, and I really encourage that if you want to be a part, to please register. You don't have to buy a ticket for the festival, but you can just register at the ticketing site to be a part of Art for the Sky.
Oh, nice.
So there's doesn't have to be any money involved, but it helps us to know how many people are coming, mm-hmm. and for you to understand that you need to wear a red shirt. And to please communicate with us and say that your intentions are to come and ask us any questions that you may have.
That's fantastic.
So that's a really important part.
So people, which is part of the whole thing. This is an interactive festival. So people can be part of that without the ticket. On the other hand, if you can, it's lovely to be able to buy the ticket and have part of that go to the organizations. But it's terrific to get involved in something like this. And I'm smiling just thinking about it. And you're going to have your dueling easels, I understand.
Yes, the dueling easels will be taking place on the Sunday. And you can find out about that on the website also. And I want to also mention that there is a kiln firing on the beach at the end of the day Saturday, and one of the Wii players is also a fire dancer, so there's going to be a fire dancing performance.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
You don't want to miss it, Carol.
Woohoo! Okay.
You don't want to miss it.
Well,
so that's what I'm saying. There's so much going on, and then on top of all that, all the galleries have special shows going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dragonfire is doing a recycled art show, so at least 50% of all the ingredients in the artwork, with more than 30 artists participating, are all environmentally friendly.
Beautiful.
And there's demonstrations going on, and so it's really a full 3 days plus the Thursday evening. Actually, it opens on the Thursday morning. It's really 4 days of just a lot of great art and art performances.
So, folks,
and
this is...
I don't understand anybody not wanting to come.
Well, I was there 2 years ago, and I loved it. So it's happening September 16th through the 19th. And you heard Eva emphasize that a lot of it is outside, including Daniel's Art for the Sky project, which you can take part in, plus the Wii players. And so in terms of safety, there is that's built in as well. So again, CB, as in Cannon Beach, cbgallerygroup.com for the Earth and Ocean Festival. Thank you so much for being here, Eva Lantala and Daniel Dancer. And I look forward to seeing you both in September.
Thank you, Carol. Well, always a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I've got some music here from Haiti, and they wrote, Laku Music is a multi-generational collective of Haitian musicians formed in the aftermath of the devastating 2010 earthquake. The group includes elder legends and rising young talents united in a mission to honor the healing spirit of their collective culture and communicate a message of pride, strength, and hope to the world. You tell them we're still here. You tell them we're still here. Well, let's all think about that. The people of Haiti have been bombarded over and over and over. And we here in the United States have an opportunity to help, and especially not to deport anybody to Haiti at this time. There are lots of sources. I'm sure many of you have received them. How to help many, many groups that are worthwhile, proven. Find them. If you need help, you can give me carol@kmun.org. By the way, that's my email if you want to have something on this show. And this is KMUN, your community radio station. And this is Arts Live and Local. I am here with Alan Cantor. And Alan is one of my favorites, I must say. I haven't told her that.
But thank you, Carol.
I've been admiring her work. At the beginning, when I first got to know her, she used to show her work over at the Cannon Beach Gallery and probably at the White Bird, too. And somewhere in there, Evelyn George was ready to hand off that gallery, sell the gallery, probably more like it. The White Bird Gallery in Cannon Beach, fabulous place. And Alan stepped up to the plate. And have you ever regretted it, Alan?
No, I can't say that I have. If I would have regretted it more if I saw this place just disappear and was still living in the community with no White Bird here.
Yeah, good for you. Well, I'm sure we all appreciate it. So it's a gorgeous place. And it's been around for 50 years. That's pretty amazing. 50 years in Cannon Beach, summer of 71. How did it get its name?
The gallery was named after the song White Bird that was popular in that era by, I think it's by the band called A Beautiful Day.
It's a beautiful day, yeah.
It's a beautiful day, yeah.
I tried to find that song, but I couldn't. So I thought that would be kind of fun. But, yeah, so I guess Evelyn was kind of a hippie in those days. I don't know. I can't imagine her that way, but.
I can't imagine her that way either, but there must have been something. I know she was doing a lot of pottery with PSU back then.
Right.
And was around the artistic circles, and maybe it was just kind of a popular song and a popular theme. And
well, and also her, I did not know this, that Steve McLeod was the painter, was the partner in establishing this gallery.
Yeah, Steve was Evelyn's first partner. I actually read an article I found in an old binder from 1986 when they were celebrating 15-year anniversary, and it had some quotes from Evelyn, and it said that her and Steve had been talking, and she heard Steve say for the third time, if I could only open my own gallery, if I could afford to.
Oh.
And she said that third time, she said, I'm just going to do it, because apparently before then there was no space for artists to show their work. They were just hanging in, like, antique stores and coffee shops and hallways of buildings and things like that.
Wow. Wow. What a fabulous partnership. And it's, unfortunately, both of them are gone now, but the gallery is going strong. And you put together, what is this, a 7-week or how many weeks?
Well, we put together kind of just a big luck summer-long celebration, so we're kind of going to wrap it up mostly for by Labor Day weekend, but we're going to kind of continue some other 50th anniversary programming through the end of the year. But in light of COVID, we were going to have a summer of 1971 party, and then it just, the whole party out concept was just, like, not going to happen. So we just decided, let's just call it a summer-long celebration, and, you know, we kind of did some old vintage posters, and we have some artists that made work based on the song, and some other artists just reflecting on the summer of 1971 idea, and a few artists who are still around that have been showing here for a very long time kind of thing. So a little bit of everything to honor the past and the future kind of idea.
So are there specific shows that you've been doing all summer, or are they?
It's kind of like a big conglomeration group show.
Okay.
We have our vintage poster wall that we've had up, and so we've pulled out all the old anniversary posters that Evelyn made. We have some posters that go back to 1973. There are some Hank Pander posters from way back when. So we had all those, you know, framed up. There's some Haystack Arts program posters from the 70s. And, you know, we just found all these wonderful things in the archives that Evelyn had saved. There's actually, there's an Astoria Regatta 100-year anniversary poster that had a Royal Nebuchadnezzar, and they're all signed, that we found in our archives.
Whoa.
Those are framed. So just these things that people haven't seen before that kind of reflect the longevity and all of the history of the gallery and the community, not just exactly the gallery, but the community.
Well, and that, unfortunately, that for those of us who tend never to throw things out, this is quite the reinforcement that it's a good thing, because look what's here now for everybody to see. What's the address of White Bird?
We are at 251 North Hemlock in Cannon Beach. It's just in that first north block of downtown.
Okay. So, if you're in Cannon Beach, you just ditch your car and start walking. And it's definitely one of the galleries you want to go into. Now, I don't know whether you heard my last interview, but it was with Eva from Dragonfire. And she was talking about the Earth and Ocean Festival.
Yes.
And she mentioned one of your artists who's going to be doing the final Raku firing.
Yes.
What's that about?
So that's Dave and Bonnie Deal. And Dave Deal actually did his first Raku firing on the beach as part of the PSU Haystack Arts Program back during the summer of 1971. It was with Ray Grimm's class.
Oh, wow.
And I believe that is how he met Evelyn, because he and his wife have been showing at White Bird ever since 1972.
Yeah.
So they are officially our longest-standing artists who are still producing actively today. And Dave is 73 now, and he's still strong enough to do it. So they said, you know, we want to do this. It'll be the 50th anniversary of our first firing, 50th anniversary of the gallery. This is a perfect little synchronization, but it'll probably be the last one that we ever do, because it's just, it's a lot of work, and you know, they're getting a little tired.
Yeah. Now, are they the ones who do those tall sculptures as well?
They do some really tall, like, floor urns. It's all Raku-fired.
Yeah.
It has, like, the iconic motifs are, like, fern leaves and maple leaves pressed into it. They do a lot of herons.
Yeah, I've seen their work, but I'm thinking, when you say it's a lot of work,
Yeah, and Dave throws the pieces. I mean, and he's like a master at the wheel, and they make all this work with no electricity, and they do kick wheels. They use a propane-fired kiln.
So where are they going to be doing everything?
So the Raku firing on the beach is going to be on Saturday the 18th, and the Dave will be down there with his kiln all day. They start setting up really early, like about 8, 9 in the morning. And then, because it takes a long time for the kiln to heat and to start firing the pieces,
mm-hmm.
but he'll pull out a really big piece in the evening at around 7 o'clock, around sunset, and it's really something to see because he has to put this big fire suit on, and it's like it's flaming, you know, and then he puts it in the reduction barrel, and it's there's smoke right. and everything, and then after that, there's going to be some fire dancers.
That's what she said. Yes.
It's going to be really fun, yeah.
So, I've seen Rick, who, as a matter of fact, they allowed a lot of us to take part. But, you know, there was these little pieces, and then you put them in the garbage pail with the stuff, and it all goes on fire and stuff. And I'm thinking, good heavens, his pieces are...
They're big. And, I mean, Dave's this big 6-foot-tall guy,
yeah,
you know, really, really strong. And that's what's one of the things that makes their work so masterful, is that he can manage to do this and not mess it up, you know?
Right, right. So... that's going to be on September 18th.
Mm-hmm.
That festival is Earth and Ocean Festival. It's the 16th through the 19th. So that's perfect. Did you time it with them or for that festival?
Well, so the deals have been out. They used to come out to the plein air festival before that went away and mm-hmm. and just work outside because it was plein air and more. So it was like artists working
right.
on location.
Right.
And when the Earth and Ocean Festival came up, it seemed like still a really good tie-in because their work is so based on the earth and the flora and the fauna
mm-hmm.
of the Northwest,
mm-hmm.
and plus their sort of like low footprint of how do they make the work, and
yeah.
so they just love being out here. I mean, you can visit Dave Deal on the beach pretty much all day. He'll just be sitting there happy as a clam looking at his film.
That's great. Who are some of the other artists just in 1 minute? And then I want to know how you're feeling. It's been 50 years. You're not even 50 years old, I think.
No, but it'll be, you know, it'll be 20 years since I started working for Evelyn at the gallery this year.
Oh, wow.
And it's 10 years since I owned the gallery this year.
Is that right?
So a lot of, and actually our featured artist that's going to be in the September show, it'll be his 35th year of showing here, and we're doing a special anniversary poster for his work.
And who is that?
And that's Randall David Tipton.
Okay.
So if anyone comes to Earth and Ocean, you'll be able to see his mm-hmm. show at the gallery and pick up an anniversary poster if you're interested.
Nice. Well, what's one of the beauties of Whitebird is there's all these nooks and crannies. So you can, you know, different types of art and different artists.
Absolutely.
Just absolute delight. Well, congratulations to you. I didn't realize it's been that long. And to the gallery and to... Cannon Beach for having such a cooperative system with the arts. It's a wonderful thing. So,
yes,
thank you
absolutely.
So much, Alan Cantor.
Thank you for having me, Carol.
From Whitebird Gallery.
I always love talking to you.
Yes, and the fest, the summer celebration of the 50 years is till September 6th, except that you just heard that Dave Deal is September 18th. So it goes on and on and on.
Yeah,
and,
we're kind of going to end the summer segment and then just move into some other anniversary projects
okay.
through the end of the year.
Sounds so. Great. Okay, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
Okay.
Folks,
bye-bye.
Thank you for joining me here on Arts Live and Local. And I hope that you stay safe and definitely take part in the arts. Send me a note, carol@kmun.org, and I look forward to seeing and hearing from you and perhaps even talking to you here on the radio. Here's some music from Afghanistan, Sending Healing.